Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
What we have come to do is to encounter with you, because it is ultimately all about you. And today we ask, Lord Jesus, that you come in a real way. May our hearts be so enamored and fixated on nobody else but you. May our lives be so filled today to overflowing. Lord, as today rolls on, and as we leave from here to go to our lunch times, I pray that not a single one of us will not have had a genuine face-to-face encounter and touch from you today. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. And all of Nations Fort Kennedy says, amen. Could you just give Jesus a big honor? Thank you, Jesus. We love you, God. Amen. High five a couple of people before you sit down. Grab your seats. Always such an incredible privilege to be on this pulpit. It's really my favorite part of Perth, really, the city of Rockingham. I come down here to recreate. Fishing here is amazing. I won't tell you where all my spots are because I know you guys will steal it. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. You ready for the word of God this morning? John chapter 4, reading from verse 4. It says, therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. Verse 7, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away to the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Very important contextual statement there. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Verse 11, the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water I shall give him will never thirst. Underline this in your Bibles. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman then said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. Today I want to speak to you on the thought, well, well, well. Well, well, well. The Bible is an incredible book. And when I read the Gospels particularly, and the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, it just seems to turn normal conventional wisdom on its head, doesn't it? It almost flips what the world says to us on its head and turns it right around. And the genius of this account is that Jesus uses natural water as an analogy. How many of you know that water never goes out of fashion? You're always going to need water. I know some of you think you can live off coffee and tea and Coke. I got news for you. You actually need to drink some water, right? You actually need water will never go out of fashion. And so Jesus uses this genius analogy to give us this enduring truth. And what is even more culturally important for us to understand about what's happening culturally here is that the Jews and the Samaritans were people that did not mix. The Samaritans were this mixed breed of people, half Jew, part other things, and the Jews didn't accept them in their mainstream Jewish community. Makes sense to you? So this was an odd occurrence. This was not like a normal conversation. In fact, if you were to parachute yourself back in time and to eavesdrop, it'll be a bit of a what the moment. Because you would never for the life of you ever see a Jewish man sitting alone having a conversation with a Samaritan woman. Am I making myself clear? This just would not happen. How many of you know Jesus does not care about our labels? So here is the holy divinity made into flesh, Son of God, untainted by the sin of the world. And here is a woman with a shady past, right? For those of you that know this account, know that Jesus goes on to read her mail, if you like, and tells her that she's had five husbands and the man she's currently with, she's not married to, etc., etc. So here's this woman. She's rejected by society. She's carrying a fair amount of shame. There's probably quite a bit of dysfunction and quite a bit of brokenness. How many of you know that the Samaritan woman actually represents all of us in the room? From the most practiced of saints to the most vilest of sinners, I don't care who you think you are today, this Samaritan woman represents all of us in the room. So here is Jesus, and he sits by himself and waits to have a conversation with this woman that represents a broken humanity. I love it. It's just a beautiful picture. How many of you know that Jesus isn't repulsed by who we are or what we've done, but he comes and he's attracted to who we can be? And so he meets with this woman. And the gist, the thesis of John chapter 4, if I can give that to you, summarize it for you, the synopsis in 25 words or less, is essentially this. Jesus is far more concerned about what's inside of you than he is with what's on the outside of you. Jesus came to deal not with your external appearance, not with your external circumstance. He comes to deal with what's on the inside of you. That's why verse 14 says, Jesus says this, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Essentially what Jesus said to the woman was this: you're concerned about drawing what's outside of you. You've come to draw from this well that's outside of you, but I've actually come to give you a new paradigm to deal with what's on the inside of you. The Bible uses the natural well as a picture of what God actually puts inside of you as a person. Do you know that everyone here was created with a well on the inside of them? You created with a well on the inside of you. I'm actually created in the well inside of me. The well is synonymous with our heart, our soul, our emotions, our life source. It's what makes us uniquely us. So you have to come to a realization that whether you like it or not, you were created with a capacity on the inside of you every day, whether knowingly or unknowingly, to receive and contain and give out or have others or yourself draw from a well on the inside of you. Make sense? Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3 says this: therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. I don't care how many history books you read, how many historical maps you look at, there is no geographical pin drop on a well of salvation. It's a metaphorical phrase for what is on the inside of you. Make sense? So when the Bible uses that word well, here obviously Jesus is gathering around a natural well with natural water to give to or reveal a spiritual truth to this woman about what's going on the inside of her. When you said yes to Jesus, Jesus actually filled the inside of you. He put in your well a water that will cause you to never thirst again. When you said yes to Jesus, he put himself into you. No other, no world religion offers you that. Only the Christian faith with the living God offers you a Savior that comes and puts himself on the inside of you. That is worth an amen. Thank you, Jesus, for that. And so Jesus communicates to this Samaritan woman who probably felt dirty, rejected, comes to fetch water at an odd time of the day when no other Jewish women were there. Come on, you follow me so far? She carries a stigma, a label. She wears it with shame. She's trying to avoid people rather than to integrate into society. It must be a horrible existence. And yet Jesus says, I've come and I'm sitting right here, lady, because I've come to meet you where you're at. And I'm the kind of Savior that is not repulsed by your past or your present, but I've come to fill the emptiness on the inside of you with myself. Wells in Middle Eastern times were areas or places where people gathered. It was like the epicenter of life. It's a bit like the local shops here in our vernacular. Suburban local shops, you know what I'm saying? You bump into people, you see them, how you doing in the aisles of Coles and Woolies, and sometimes you're frazzled and kids are running around everywhere, ripping the shelves apart, and you're all, And there's someone from church there. Happens to me all the time. It's like the epicenter of life, right? Wells where people chatted and women came in and drew water and they talked about their day. And they kind of started their day there where they got the supply that hydrated the homes for the day. Makes sense to you? So Jesus uses this genius analogy of the well to describe what's on the inside of you. That's actually the epicenter of your life. The well on the inside of you is the seat of your emotions, your paradigm, your thinking. So I want to submit this to you today. It's not what happens on the outside of you that matters. It's how your well responds to what happens on the outside of you that dictates the kind of day, the kind of month, the kind of year that you're going to have. The enemy knows that it's what's on the inside of you that's the epicenter of your life and your living. You know, Israel's ancient enemies knew that wells were such a significant part of life and living for societies in those days. The Philistines were like an arch enemy of the Israelite nation through many, many centuries. They were at odds with God's people. What the Philistines would do at times when they wanted to wage war against Israelite communities was that in the dark of night, over many nights, they would send like a little platoon in, and they would gather around these main wells that were gathered around the townships in Israel, and at night they would shovel sand into the wells. After a couple of nights, they would shovel sand, and the third night they shovel more sand, and the fourth and the fifth night, and come the end of the week, these wells would completely dry up, and communities without water would weaken, and they would launch an attack. Makes sense to you? Isn't that what the enemy does to us sometimes? When we don't expect it, he comes in the dark of night, shovels the sand, a couple of shovelfuls of sand called disappointment. And then a week later, another shovelful of sand called that rejection for that job application. And then he'd shovel another shovelful of sand into our well called grief. And he'd shovel full another shovelful of sand into our wells called shame. The Syrians were another arch enemy of the Israelite people, and they had a far more brutal strategy. Whenever they wanted to launch attacks on Israelite communities, they would send just one soldier in the dark of night. And what he would do was that he'd attack the main well by throwing in a carcass of a dead animal into the well. And every day the women will be none the wiser that draw water. But how many of you know in the Middle Eastern heat, as the carcass decomposes, the water toxifies and gets contaminated. Illness would spread like wildfire through an entire community, and that launched their attack because their defenses were weak. And is that what the enemy does to us sometimes? When we least expect it, he'd throw in a carcass called offense. We can get by for a while, but then the months roll on and we wonder why bitterness starts to come out a little bit. Come on, I'm getting real with you this morning. Is that okay? Because the enemy knows that the well on the inside of you is actually the epicenter of your life. What's on the inside of you will actually be what will come out of you. What comes out of you actually can't be any different to what's already on the inside of you. I've got here an empty jar. Can you see through it? It's empty at the moment, isn't it? Check this out. I hope nobody shook this to punk me. I'm looking at you, Mark Ludra. It gets to a point where you just feel you're safe, right? You go, psh, and then you're good. It's not a science experiment, it's an analogy. You're going to remember this. What am I pouring into the jug? It's not a trick question. What am I pouring into the jug? How many of you love Coke? Like the real stuff? You love the real stuff? Shame on you. I've just poured Coke into the jug. Now, what am I pouring out of the jug? Sprite? water, orange juice. Does that sound make you want to pee? It's making me want to pee. Every time I do this, gets me, man. All right. There's a hole in the bucket. That's why you shouldn't drink Coke. You burn a hole through the bucket. Get me a new bucket because I'm going to need a bucket. And that's often what we try and lie to ourselves about. Oh, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm pouring out water. It's fine. When we've got Coke on the inside of us. Come on, are you out there? Right? What's on the inside of us inevitably will come out of us. That's why the Bible actually says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And yet, how many times do we say, oh, no, that person brings the worst out of me? That stuff was already on the inside of you, y'all. Come on, are you out there? You know, and there's this truth that Jesus gives us. The Bible actually gives us in Proverbs chapter 4. That's why the Bible actually says this. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. How many of you got issues? They're inside your heart. The NIV actually says this. Above all else. Wow. That's strong language. Above all else. Above doing your hair, girls. I don't have anything to worry about, but above doing your hair, above the clothes, above the cars and the houses, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from or out of it. Guard your heart. It's amazing. No matter how you try and convince other people that what you did or what you said or how you responded, oh, that's not me. That's so not me. No, that was you. It's like me trying to tell you, I'm pouring water out. No, you guys are going, come on, PK, that was Coke. Right? Little wonder, Jesus sits with the woman and says, what you need on the inside of you is me. How many of you know that our wells need to be filled with nothing but Jesus? Nothing but Jesus. And this is often what we try and do. So how many of you know that this is an empty jug? You can see this is an empty jug. It's not a trick, not a magic trick. Let's say this is my well. This is Ken Lee's well. And I've got this jug. And I'm empty. So I go look for some friends. And I come hang out here. I come hang out here with Joe. How you going, Joe? Yeah, so we're hanging out for a little bit, right? But after a while, just our friendship, it's still not filling my well. So I go, see you later. This front row is not doing me any good at all. I'm done. I'm gonna hang out with this young fella here. What's your name, mate?
Liam.
This is Liam. I'm hanging out with Liam. I'm like in the middle section of church now, so you know, so maybe I'm thinking I might get filled in the middle section of church because the front row is not doing anything for me. I'm hanging out with Liam. And after a few weeks, it's still hanging out. Liam's not doing it for me. I'm still feeling pretty empty. And so I go, you know how you go from the front row to the middle row, and then you're hanging out with the real back row bogans. I'm hanging out here with Cam. I'm hanging out here with Cam. He's got the volunteer T-shirt. He must be a good sort of guy. I'm hanging out with Cam. We're sharing a seat. That's a bit awkward, but that's all good. So I'm hanging out with Cam, and but how many of you know that after a while, I'm still going to be as empty as when I started, right? And so I go, you know, Cam, hanging out with Cam's not doing anything for me, so I'll just start loitering outside, hanging out with some crazy people, loitering outside. But how many of you know I take my emptiness with me? Oh, come on, I need an amen. I take my emptiness wherever I go. Changing your environment is not going to fill you. Come on, are you out there? Changing your environment is not going to fill the void that only Jesus created for himself to fill. That was the whole point of John chapter 4. He said to this woman, you try and hydrate yourself in the natural, but woman, what you need is me. And if you ask me, I would have given you me, living water, so that when you have me, you will never thirst again. We take our emptiness with us. We were created to be filled by Jesus. And so we try and fill our lives with Coke. Oh, that beautiful sugary stuff. The aspartame. Oh, phenomenal. Phenomenal. Tastes good for a while, but then I've got my jug. It's filled with black stuff that ultimately isn't good for my inside. So come and hang out on this side. Come and hang out on this side. Simon, come hang out with Simon. I'm sharing a seat with Simon. It's a bit awkward. We're touching arms, but that's fine.
You gonna drink that?
After a while, he asked me if I'm going to drink that. Of course not. Don't be stupid. It's on the inside of me. So I'm hanging out with Simon, and after a while, Simon says something that I just don't agree with. I'm done with you. See you later, mate. I'm a little bit offended. I'm out of here. I'm gone. So I come hang out. I come hang out with this gentleman here. What's your name, sir?
George.
I'm hanging out with George. George seems like a nice, decent sort of guy. But after a while, there's a few things that George says and does that annoys me. I'm done. I'm out of here. So I'm going to the back row now. I won't pick on any more people, but you're getting the point. I take my black stuff with me. Come on, are you out there? The change of environment does not mean that the Coke on the inside of me gets replaced by fresh water. What I've got to do is make an intentional conviction in my own life, and I hope this bucket holds up, that I'm going to declutter and empty myself out. Come on, are you out there? And say that this well of mine is reserved for nothing else but living water. And this is an intentional decision. The reason why I made you wait is because sometimes being filled by Jesus requires us to be still and to allow Him to fill us, to do what He came to do. Come on, are you out there? Wells of water in the natural are actually dug into what's called aquifers, groundwater. Makes sense to you? They're kind of these amazing constructions that kind of dig into these groundwater type things that water springs up. And that's why Jesus said to this woman, I don't care what your label says you are. I don't care how empty you came. The very reason that divinity comes as flesh, the reason why heaven disrupted itself in that point in history to come down to humanity is because in the inside of every living human being is a well that only Jesus can fill. All other infillings will leave you wanting more. All other infillings will leave you searching for more. All other infillings will leave you just as toxified, just as corroded, just as empty, just as dry, just as sandy. Only Jesus was created to fill that space, that well in your life. And I, the epicenter of your life, this is what you need to write down. The epicenter of your life is on the inside of you, not on the outside of you. Stop looking for outside things to change the lack of joy on the inside of you. Stop looking for outside circumstance to dictate to you how on the inside of you you're going to be fulfilled. It's time for you to fill your life with the one true living water. I'm going to make one of the most empowering statements you will ever hear in your life. This is going to help you. This is going to bless you. This is something I just know that you're going to refer to in your notes. This is completely going to empower you. This is it. You get to choose what your well is filled with. You get to choose that. Just like I stood here and chose between the two bottles, pouring Coke or pouring water into my well, you actually get to choose what your well is filled with. That's why Jesus said to the woman, woman, all you needed to do was choose to ask for living water and it would have given it to you. You get to choose, woman, what your well is being filled with. You can keep filling it with your guilt, your shame, the memories of all of those relationships lost, the opportunities, the condemnation that you might feel, the kind of lifestyle you might think that coming at the odd hour at 3 o'clock in the day where the other women are long gone because they come in the morning to hydrate their homes. You might think that doing all that might fill that emptiness on the inside of you. You get to choose today whether you want to fill your life with that same life that you're living, or I'm here. Making sense to you? I don't know about you, but the world actually needs a church that's full of people that are filled with living water. We actually owe that to our communities, our families, that our lives are filled with this, that our lives are full and filled with this. The book of Acts chapter 4 accounts for a couple of Jesus' disciples, Peter and John. Peter and John were just going to the temple to pray. They were just going to church. And they happened to pass by a man who was begging for alms, begging for money, if you like. And they passed by him and they said to him, "Silver and gold, I have none because we're pastors. We don't have any money." That was far funnier in the other campus. "But if we had it, we'll give it to you. But in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And so they healed this man. They actually got put under arrest for giving that man his freedom. The Bible says that this man who sat begging, who's paralyzed, crippled, then went walking, leaping, praising God. Walking, leaping, praising God. He got made whole, spirit, soul, body. That's a whole different sermon. Walking, leaping, praising God. Peter and John were then put under arrest, and they were then put in the middle of a Sanhedrin meeting. So this was like the middle of the city courts where all of the religious leaders were throwing accusations at them. But upon accusing them, they couldn't find any fault with them, so they released them. And on their release, in verse 23, it says this: "Peter and John then went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them or accused them." And then after being released from being under arrest, they actually called a prayer meeting. I don't know about you, but if I've been released from jail, I just want a holiday. Right? Because I deserve a break. But they called a prayer meeting. And then in verse 27, it says, "Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord," this is Peter and John praying this. "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." I don't know about you, but if I've just been arrested for being bold, I don't want any more boldness. "And yet this is what they prayed: stretch out your hand to heal and perform more signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken and they were all filled with more Instagram stories, more filled with more Netflix movies. Does it say that? More filled with more desserts and junk food. No, they were just filled with the Holy Spirit. And because of that, they spoke the word of God boldly, even under persecution. Persecution on the outside is no threat to a full well with Jesus on the inside. Good preaching, PK. That's awesome. That's really good. The early church had no other option but to fill their wells with Jesus. The early church had no other option because they owed it to their city to be filled with Jesus. You know, around the world today, particularly in third world nations, the issue is proper plumbing, if you know what I mean. It is flowing water, drinking water, clean water. And as engineering and society has developed across time, there have been many wells that have been dug to ensure that communities, remote communities, rural communities have access to fresh water. But there has actually been a new wave of concern, if you like, for the health of rural communities in particularly third world nations. And it's not the lack of wells or water flowing, but it's contamination. Because of modernity, there's now higher levels of lead and magnesium and toxins in water than is acceptable for good health. Am I making sense? So contamination is actually an issue because of modern day living. And I see the parallel sometimes that, you know, we can live lives with Jesus on the inside, but because of just the lifestyle we lead, we add a bit of this. It's got a lot of water in it, but it's also got a bit of Coke. That's funky. Woo! And at times, that's what we offer to our city. A lot of Jesus, but a bit of other stuff too. A lot of God and a lot of parts, but there are actually some parts that are not so good. A good chunk of the Bible, but a good chunk of those weird blogs as well. A good chunk of good theology, but a little bit of the weird stuff as well. Maybe it's time for the church just to come empty again. Come on. Come empty again. And say, Jesus, nothing else but living water, because my family needs it. Nothing else but living water because my marriage needs it. Nothing else but living water. I come empty because my kids need living water out of me. Come on, are you out there? It's time again for us to say, I've come empty and it's time to refill me, Jesus, because I just want to overflow. And when I overflow, I don't want to overflow with anger. I don't want to overflow with rage. I don't want to overflow with resentment. I don't want to overflow with weird ideas. I don't want to overflow with more opinions. I want to overflow with you, God. I want living water to flow. Fill me so I'll never thirst again. I want my searching to stop here at the foot of the cross. It's time for the church to come empty again and say, Lord, that's me. That's me. Is that helpful to you guys? Musicians, you can join me. Come on. Would you just stand at your feet? I'm done talking because I know that the Holy Spirit wants to do some ministering today.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.